My friends in Christ, Lent. We Catholics like Lent. We may not always admit it, but we do. We love the ashes of Ash Wednesday, and we even like sacrifice and self-denial. We don't always do them so well, but we like the thought of them at least. We like Lent. But you know, Lent is more than ashes, sacrifice, and self-denial. In the early church, Lent was all about preparing for baptism. It still is. And for those of us who are already baptized, Lent is the ideal time for us to get in touch with the meaning of our baptism. The readings today help us to do just that. In both the reading from Genesis and the reading from the first letter of Peter, Noah is center stage. Noah, whose ark brought him, his family, and all that great array of amazing creatures over the swirling waters of death to a place of freedom and safety. Noah, with whom God made a covenant of life and hope, signified by that great rainbow in the sky. The church didn't give us those readings just because the Noah story is a great story, although it certainly is. No, we got the Genesis reading because the Noah story prefigures the sacrament of baptism. And we got the reading from the first letter of Peter because it uses the Noah story to explain baptism. The waters of baptism are like the waters of the great flood, all about death and life. Christ's death, Christ's life. And it is through the sacramental waters that we share in Christ's death and life. I've always thought that we Pacific Northwesterners have a head start on understanding baptism. We know a lot about water. We have beautiful lakes, raging rivers, majestic waterfalls, green trees, and the greenest of fields. And we have rain. We have destructive floods, too, and landslides, and soggy days, and leaky roofs. We know from experience that water has two meanings. Water means death, but water also means life. And that gives us a head start on understanding baptism. In the gospel reading, it's Jesus who speaks to us of baptism. Well, almost. The gospel passage actually began right after the baptism of Jesus. No sooner had he come up out of the baptismal waters of the Jordan than the Spirit sent him out into the desert where for 40 days he was put to the test by Satan. I think of this time in the desert as Jesus' preparation, his conditioning, if you will, for his second baptism, the one he spoke of when he said, "There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished." And the baptism Jesus was talking about there was, of course, his death and his long days in the desert, wrestling with the power of evil, could only have steeled him for the great battle that awaited him on Calvary. My friends, the church wants us to think of these things during Lent. The church gives us 6 full weeks to think long and hard about our baptism, and not just to think about it, to wake up to our baptism. For the church knows that, viewed with the eyes of faith, nothing more important has ever happened to us than our baptism. Let me repeat that. Viewed through the eyes of faith, nothing more important to us has ever happened than our baptism. The church also, as you know, focuses during these grace-filled days of Lent on those who are preparing for baptism. They are full of excitement and anticipation because their Lenten journey will culminate when they walk into the waters of the baptismal pool during the great Easter vigil. Baptism. Preparing for it or waking up to it? That's what Lent is really all about. We may more typically think of Lent in terms of ashes and abstinence, of desserts denied, drinks declined, and that's okay. In fact, it's good, as long as those penitential practices bring us in touch with our baptism. Think of them as the dying part of baptism, the drowning waters, if you will, the death to sin and selfishness. Baptism. It is important to remember what we heard in today's gospel. The same Jesus who one minute found himself basking in the baptismal glory of being God's beloved Son, in another minute found himself in the desert, wrestling with the forces of evil, struggling mightily against Satan's enticements to sin. Insidious temptations they were that could have seemed quite sensible to Jesus at the time. Struggling mightily with them, but never giving in. That was Jesus' story. Is it our story? I believe it is the story of each one of us, the story of everyone who follows Christ. With this difference, all too often, we part company with Jesus by forsaking the struggle and taking the easy way out. We would like it if our baptism were some sort of inoculation against sin and life's painful struggles. It isn't, of course. Our baptism is a passport to glory, but it is no shortcut to glory. What baptism gives us is the church, this community of believers to walk with us and support us on our journey. And of course, it gives us the assurance of God's grace, which is more powerful by far than even the most discouraging of human weaknesses. My friends, water does tell the story. Water that drowns and destroys, water that cleanses, refreshes, and gives life. The story told by water is our story, the story of good mixed with evil, of sin washed by grace, of failure and triumph, of life and death. No, I should have said death and life, because in this particular story, no matter how it may seem to us now, in this particular story, it is life, not death, that gets the last word.